Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. What do you know about angels? Do you know that there are good angels and bad ones? Today, Tom Murray will continue our study on fallen angels and how Satan used them to pollute the human race by fathering children with human women. Keep listening.
Well, welcome back to our studies in The Lay Disciple on the fallen angels, or what we commonly refer to as demons. And we've been talking about the two categories of demons, that is free demons who can be active today, if you will, and confined demons who cannot be active today because God has confined them to certain places. Now, in the Bible, the place where God confines demons is a place referred to as the abyss, A-B-Y-S-S. And some are confined there even as we broadcast this radio study. And they're not going to be released until certain specific times in the Great Tribulation period yet to come. But others of the demons are temporarily confined there because they've been cast out of some person that they indwelt, or for some reason they have been temporarily confined by God and will be released at some later time and therefore become free demons again, able to serve Satan. But I'd like to now turn your attention to the permanently confined demons, not the temporarily confined, but the permanently. And there are some demons that have been confined by God permanently, and they're not ever going to be released from where they are confined until God places them in the lake of fire, their eternal abode. Now, there are three key passages in your Bible where you can study that deal with these permanently confined demons. First of all, you will find the demons that are permanently confined in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. That are referred to by Peter in 2 Peter 2, 4, and 5, and then also by Jude in verses 6 and 7 of his little epistle. So let's go to the Genesis 6, 1 to 4 passage and see what we can learn about that group of fallen angels or demons who were free demons at one point. But then as a result of what happened in Genesis 6, they have been confined since that moment until this present moment, and they will be confined until the lake of fire. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, you'll find that these verses 1 to 4 before the flood talk about the sons of God going into the daughters of men. And that's caused a great debate among some Bible teachers as to whether this passage, the sons of God going into the daughters of men, actually refers to these fallen angelic beings or demons or not. Some have tried to say that the sons of God were actually the human subjects who descended from Seth, and that they went in to the daughters of the evil descendants of Cain. That is, they were actually humans going in sexually to humans. But in fact, I think it's pretty easy to show you that these sons of God were in fact fallen angels or demons. And I want to take the time to show you that Genesis chapter 6 does refer to angels, and as a result of their going into the daughters of men, that is, demons, co-inhabiting with humans, that they are now permanently confined by God. Now, for me to prove this, we're going to have to study the four verses in Genesis 6, 1 to 4 in detail, verse by verse. First of all, we're told in chapter 6, verse 1 about how there was a multiplication of humanity on the face of the earth up until during and before the time of the flood. It says, and it came to pass in Genesis 6:1, when men began to multiply on the face of the ground or the earth, and daughters were born to them. Now, verse 1 actually emphasizes to us the multiplication of humanity that was going on before the time of the flood, where it says that when men began to multiply. Now, the Hebrew word used for men in that verse is generic, and it refers not just to men only, but it refers to all of humanity, like mankind. So it did include male and female multiplication. The word in the Hebrew as such cannot be limited just to the sons of Cain, because that would have just been males. The word has to include all of humanity, male and female. So it would have had to include both the Sethites and the Cainites, and both of these groups died in the flood. So another key word that is found in verse 1 is the term daughter. Now that Hebrew word means females. So the emphasis in the second part of verse 1 of Genesis 6 is daughters were born unto them. And the emphasis is upon the female part of the humanity that was multiplying on the earth. So again, the expression cannot be limited to the female descendants of Cain, as some people try to teach. It simply is a word that means the female portion of the total population of the earth. So verse 1 can really read this way: man, that is humanity, multiplied, and daughters, females, were born unto them. That would be the correct rendering of the Hebrew. So the distinction in verse 1 is not between male Sethites and female Cainites, but the emphasis is on the female portion of humanity in general, which would include both the daughters of Cainites and the daughters of Sethites. Then in verse 2, it talks about the intermarriage that took place between these mortal females on the earth and the sons of God. It says in verse 2 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Now, what happens here in verse 2 is a description of the intermarriage that took place between the sons of God and the daughters of men. Now, the sons of God is a general term which means basically to be brought into existence by God's creative act. The term sons of God is a general term which means to be brought into existence by God's creative act. Now, because this term carries that particular meaning, it is used very selectively in your Bible. Throughout the Old Testament, the term sons of God is always used of angels. Now, this is very clear when the same usage is compared with usages in the Old Testament. Elsewhere, you'll find in the Old Testament, the same term is used in Job 1:6. It's used in Job 2:1 and later in Job 38:7. Now, no one debates that the other places in the Old Testament where the term sons of God is found clearly refers to angels only. But some want to make the Genesis 6 verse 2 and that whole passage of Genesis 6:1 to 4 the one exception to that rule throughout the Old Testament. And there's simply no reason to have any exception, and the Bible doesn't make such an exception. So the sons of God throughout the Old Testament, everyone agrees, other than Genesis 6, refers to angels. And there should be no reason why Genesis 6 should not refer to angels as well. Now, when you come to the New Testament, the term sons of God is expanded in its meaning. Adam himself is called the Son of God. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, why? Because he, Adam, was brought into existence by the creative act of God himself. Believers in John chapter 1 and verse 12 are called the sons of God. Why? Because believers become a new creation by God in Christ at the moment of their new birth, according to Galatians 6:15. So if you're a believer and a new creation in Christ, you are a son or a daughter of God because you have been brought into that existence by the creative act of God in your new birth and regeneration. Now, in Genesis, which is where we are looking, the text is dealing with a specific Hebrew expression. In the Hebrew, it's Bene Elohim. And as it is used in the Hebrew Old Testament, it is a term that is always used of angels and angels only. So the distinction in this passage in Genesis 6:1-4 is not between Sethites and Cainites, it is between humanity and angels. The word men in this passage, 6:1-4, emphasizes humanity, and the term sons of God emphasizes angels in this particular passage. Now, I don't have time to get into the second key expression in verse 2, which has to do with the daughters of men, but if you'll come back in our next broadcast, I'd be glad to explain that and help you to understand Genesis chapter 6 and how it applies to confined demons in the abyss. Well, I'll see you next time in our next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom. Well, I hope that these programs are helping you become mature in Christ and to better understand the spiritual warfare taking place around us. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program or you'd like information on one of our Bible studies, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. In Memphis, the number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call us toll-free at 1-866-685-3385. You can also contact us through our new website at www.milktomeat.org, where you'll find helpful information, ministry tools, and even audio files of our radio programs. Now make plans to join us again next time right here for The Lay Disciple.